Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, the world-building podcast where we throw spaghetti at the wall and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. On today's episode, we will be discussing seasons, the passing of time as reflected in the physical changes to your world. It's fall, winter, spring, summer. We all know what it is. Well, it's going to look different on different worlds, though.
But also,
and let's come up with some fun ideas about it.
And also, we talked about it in the prelude to this, that it's not just about necessarily the changing of the seasons from those four things. It's also a season in which a thing occurs in a place.
Yeah.
And that can be colloquially thought of in a very different way.
No, but that's what I'm saying is it is repetitive physical changes to the environment that mark the passage of time.
It's repetitive changes to the environment.
What did I say?
Physical. I'm removing the physical.
Okay, that's fine.
Because a lot of it, it's not necessarily about physical. Because it's about behavior change. It's about, like, the physical has an effect. But, like, sometimes, depending on where you live, spring and summer aren't that much different.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So it's like, also, it's just passage of time and marking it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. I'll give you that.
Yeah. I am a huge fan of, in George R. Martin's Song of Ice and Fire, the fact that the seasons are just like, it's like, winter is coming. We've been in summer forever. And you're like, the fact that it isn't knowable. It's just kind of like, it happens. Mm. At some point, it will be a new season. We don't know when.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. And obviously it creates an iconic line.
Well, yeah.
But the vibes of that, this like looming thing that
it's kind of like magic realism. It's like, it's because it is obviously a mystical world, but that aspect of it is not explicitly
discussed.
Yeah. Or magical.
Like why?
You just sort of, it's just part of it. But
yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't need to explain it.
No.
I don't know, like, what are some other seasons in
fiction? So there's, I just need to look up her name.
Mm-hmm. Ursula Le Guin.
No.
Annette Bening.
N.K. Jemisin's book, The Fifth Season.
Yeah.
Obvious.
To Annette Bening.
Annette Bening is four seasons in a day. N.K. Jemisin.
This really got you.
It did.
I love it.
It's not great in there. The Fifth Season's a book. I like the idea of
I haven't read it. I actually don't know what
I haven't
about.
Either. I started reading it, but you know me and I get distracted very easily.
ADD.
The general premise, from what I understand though, is that basically there are four seasons on this world, and then there's this like very rare fifth catastrophic season that sometimes occurs, which I tried to build in when we were doing our dragons episode. I was like,
I remember we referenced fifth season recently. I don't really remember when.
It was the dragons episode. Cool. I think
one of us should probably read the book
at some point
because we've referenced it now twice.
Yeah.
Or
we
should read the summary in full. I don't do that enough. And
I do it all.
There's plenty of books where I don't like the author's style, but I am curious to know the plot. And I probably should just look into that.
I've read a lot of Game of Thrones lore.
Yeah.
Never read a page of the books. I watched season 1, 2, 3, 7, and 8.
What? Like, why would you skip the middle?
Because that's when it got bad.
No, it got bad in 7 and 8. Season four, incredible. Season five,
which
still good.
Season four?
Season six, okay.
What?
Season seven and eight, horseshit.
What happened in season four?
That's when I know it ends with Arya going to Braavos.
I did get that far.
Which was a great moment where she says, "Valar Morghulis," to the guy.
Yeah, I missed the seasons where she was training.
Yeah, and it's like season four is the fallout from the Red Wedding. It's a lot of that. It's like,
okay.
It's the Lannisters consolidating power. It's great. Season four is really good. Season five, that. you get the Viper. You got it.
I watched that fight.
That's fucking eye gouging. Can't do it.
And the head exploding.
Yeah.
Anyway, point is, I've read a lot about the lore, having never read a page of the books, and it's pretty compelling.
Yeah. Oh, there's a reason why it was super successful.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I mean, the books are good too. I haven't read them all.
So I've heard.
I've read a bit, and
I do not have the patience
to read
that much. But no, if I'm going to read, I do not
that much. No,
no, not that. Not like that. Like, no, I don't.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway,
I'd rather read the Silmarillion.
Silmarillion.
I always mispronounce that.
Yeah, you're a heathen. It's really hard to read.
I know.
I mean, we've talked about it before on the show.
Probably.
But great for falling asleep, because you just spend 12 minutes rereading all the names of the gods, and then, because they're all spewed out in one paragraph, and then you forget them all, and then you fell asleep somehow. And you're like, cool, I didn't make any progress, but I went to bed.
Yep. Which, for you and I, is significant progress.
Yeah.
That is very real.
But anyway, so...
What are your three words, Kyle?
My three words. Oops, all pickles. God damn. You look so disappointed.
I paid $8 to get here for this.
I regret Annette Bening. I feel like it screwed you up pretty bad. Did it
fucking totally derailed me. My three words.
Think about something serious.
I am.
Okay.
You're dying. My three words.
That's
real.
That's real.
It is. Yeah. And serious. My three words are bounce house.
Okay.
You go first.
Okay.
Because I need to rein it in a little bit.
All right.
Fucking the giggles. Fucking Annette Bening.
Okay. Oops, all pickles.
$8.
You could have walked. It would have been free.
Cold.
Playing pickleball last night. This morning I was lying in bed being like, I got to come up with a couple of ideas for a season. And I was thinking about the word pickle. And how do I make that into a season, honestly? And I actually had an idea that I liked, which is that in this world, there is a season where a lot of people, like most people, are focused. This is a food-related idea, obviously. They start pickling like everything.
Okay.
They're pickling all their food. And this is a very moderate, like, Mediterranean climate. It's a nice, like, there is not a harsh winter for which they need to be prepared.
Interesting.
But they start pickling anyway, because the next season is a season where they cannot venture in the wilderness. They cannot hunt. Hmm. They need to be wary of the fields.
It's still temperate, though.
It's perfectly fine, but there are, and here I don't know the exact mechanism, because there's like monsters afoot. There's some evil forces, demons, souls are out stealing people away. Like, you can't, you cannot safely go harvest food during the season that follows the season of pickling. So you have to prepare yourself, and then for something that's coming, and then it's like a lockdown, but it doesn't seem like it should be, because you look out and it looks fine.
Right.
And it's passing. It's fleeting. It happens every year.
Right.
And then it'll be gone, and then you can go back out and you continue, and you can harvest the next crop or something like that. They're not destroying the crops. They're not destroying the trees. The animals are still there. You just don't have access to it reasonably without being in mortal danger.
What if the rain that, what if it's like a wet season, dry season world, but the rain that also makes the vegetables grow so that people can eat them and like crops plentiful also causes the sentient and violent tulip people to come to life? What if Annette Bening comes out of the cave? That's by the seasons.
Jesus Christ. You were supposed to be serious. You were supposed to find your Zen. Did not work. Okay. Let's take that energy and let's find it. Let's like.
But I like the idea.
Let's Tai Chi it into like.
Something serious. I do like the idea that something that also is beneficial, like, you know, the sun coming out melts the snow, but under the snow are the poisonous worms.
Yeah. So the rain is coming down and it is creating. Maybe it's not like a sentient creature. But the rain somehow, there's like a point in the year where there's like worms or the dirt getting wet becomes like quicksand.
Sure.
And if you venture into it, you will be sucked down and you will die.
Or there's too, there's not enough, maybe there's too much rain, the like make it, draw from real life. There's too much rain, the ground can't absorb it all. And so it leads to too much standing water, which creates disease and attracts too many violent.
That seems too poisonous. Grounded and real.
Well, so make the bug 6 feet tall. True. Just do that.
I like my idea of it becomes like hazards and there's like,
that's also,
and the quicksand element of the ground is, it's absorbing all the water, and it's not that it can't absorb it. It's that it's now become addicted and it wants more. And so like the ground, like the god of the earth, of this dirt, is so voraciously thirsty that anything that is entering it, like anything new entering its space, it just sucks it in.
Oh.
So it assumes you are water.
So you could do that, or what if there are creatures like Sarlacc pits?
Yeah.
That like maybe the rain comes down and they're normally covered in like a thicker layer of mud and dirt, and then the water wakes them up and washes away the dirt, so that you have to be careful for them too.
Yeah, maybe that adding more complexity of the end of the rainy season, or the rainy season itself becoming, creating multiple hazards for you to have to deal with. But my initial thought, I liked for the lack of a clear marker other than just knowing what time of the year it is.
Yeah.
With like spirits going through the woods, and if you're trying to hunt, it like a spirit will just come out of nowhere, blindside you, and just like rip your head right off. Very much, you don't have a defense against this. You are screwed, and you can't see it unless you are actually experiencing it. Like there are poltergeist. These are ghosts, these are specters, these are will-o'-wisps. There is something out here that is, at this time, for this season, is incredibly violent.
So I think that there does need to be some physical marker so that people can know either that the season has arrived or the season is coming. So that they have some because if it's just random, if like people just start dying, well, that could actually be the marker itself. I was thinking, though,
like the first time somebody dies by a will-o'-wisp or something.
Yeah, like, and they know what it looks like. It's like they find, like, you know, their dry, desiccated corpse or something like that, right?
Okay. Let's insert another season, but it's not a season that the humans are observing. There's a hunting season for, let's just say, a bear people. They hibernate the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. This is when they come out of hibernation for like 2 months or 1 month. Mm-hmm. And they are very formidable. It is impossible, basically, to go people. Up against them.
Yeah.
So it's just everybody stay behind walls, stay within our settlements. We will be fine here. We have defenses. They're afraid of fire. We have torches at the edges of our settlements, and they won't come here. But it's the second one is spotted. Mm-hmm. It's a Sasquatch spotting. Mm-hmm. Everybody comes running back and says, like, pickle season's over. Pickle season's over. Everybody fucking lock it down.
Yeah.
And then they just lock it down until it's like they know it. It's like, okay, like 30 days after that, or like the next full moon after that or something, then they'll be gone. And then they go back out and confirm we don't spot any bear people and no Sasquatches out here.
Sure.
Everybody go back.
Sure.
And live your life.
Yeah. And or the... If I like your idea of it being something about spirits, that is intriguing to me, because that, you're right, is something like is a non-physical season, like the season of spirits.
Yeah.
Is which would cause people to have to pickle stuff.
Yeah.
I do really like that. And I'm now hooked on this visual of in this village, in this town, in this country. Mm. There's a position called the Night Watcher, and their job is not to like sit on a tall like watchtower and look out into the distance for threats, but to look up at the sky at night. Because at night, the very first night that they see like an aurora borealis means that something about like, you know, the solstices have aligned, have occurred, the planes have aligned, and that Borealis is the sign of the spirit world coming into contact with our world.
Ooh.
And you know that it will last for, they know that it will, that whatever the alignment is, will only last for 30 nights. That's it.
Yeah.
It's perfectly temperate. It's, you still have day and night.
Uh-huh.
And nothing changes, but every night in the sky that there is an aurora borealis, it's spirit season. But because you're dealing with the spirit plane, spirit, it's well known that other planes don't operate on the same time as we do, as our planes. So that's why you need a night watcher every night, because maybe spirit season ends and then 2 days later it starts again. And then maybe after that one, it's 2 years. Until it comes again.
So it's always pickle season.
So you're just always sort of like having to figure out, you never know when it's coming.
Yeah.
But that's why you have the night watcher, whose job is basically to lie on their back, just staring at the night sky.
Don't fall asleep.
All night. Don't fall asleep.
Give him a Red Bull like Ethan just had.
Right. But like, I think that could be in, like, and if you play if you play with the, it's always like, you know, it is always 30 nights.
Yeah.
It's not like 28 days or 31 days. It is 30 nights.
I think it, because I like this idea, and I think you can use it in any formation. I think it works. Trying to keep it where, like, there is the season before, and then there's this season. So it's like you have the pickle season, and you have the like no harvest season.
Yeah.
And not specifically the sticking point of like it could reset in 2 days. And
sure.
I don't think that should be the case. I think it should be like there is a sizable gap, and maybe they can see the signs that like the Night Watcher can say, oh, I think we're coming up.
Yeah, like they're keeping an eye for maybe constellations show up that aren't normally there.
Which is like a signal that like the plane convergence is about
convergence. That was the word I was looking for earlier. Thank you.
So I think that's cool. But I another idea we talk about it, it's like I like the looking up thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, what if you remove?
Ooh, don't look down. That would be a great cultural phrase. Don't look down.
Okay, so let's say there is nothing actually occurring. This is purely a social convention that's been created because of a religious practice. There is a god of life, and that god is through a month-long festival. Like this is the season that we worship the god of, like, you know, there's always a sun god, but we'll say it's a full god of life. And so striking down any life, which includes plants, is sacrilege.
Nice.
So the people have just decided, and they have come up with this. So you cannot hunt because you cannot slay anything during this time. You should never, do not step on bugs. Do not eat anything that is alive. If people are dying, they need to be cared for, and you need to
kept alive as much as possible.
Kept alive. Like if you willingly kill something, then your punishment is death. So, and that includes if you willingly harvest a plant.
I love that.
If you uproot a plant, if you do anything that disturbs the life in all of its forms. That's
brilliant.
So
you just come up with that?
Yeah.
That's fucking great.
So but you can eat food that you already had because you need to survive.
Sure. Plus it's already dead.
Yeah, exactly. So if things that are already dead, they're fine. So if you have grain stockpiled, you can keep using it.
Right. Cook whatever you want, make as much bread as you want.
If there's a salted, beef.
The salted pork is particularly good.
If there's salted pork in the village, you're allowed to eat that. You just can't slaughter a pig.
Right.
I think I like that one maybe the most. I don't know. I like the Night Watch thing.
I like the randomness of the night. Or that part of it. I like the cultural, all these cultural
The people
things.
Looking up is cool.
I like the people looking up. I like don't look down. I like it changes the meaning.
Why
of
is
like,
it don't look down?
Because you've got to be eyes on the sky.
Okay, fair.
Sorry. Yeah. I like it kind of changes the meaning of like starlight, star bright. You know, I wish I may, right? Like anything involving twinkle, twinkle, little star takes on a whole new meaning. You could like all these idioms are kind of like falling into my head right now. And yeah, I like that it is scientific, it is predictable, but there is still a chaotic element to it.
Yeah.
But your idea that could exist. That doesn't need to be in a fantastical world.
All right. I think that's probably the end of that idea. You want to move on to the bounce house?
Yeah, bounce house. So we are next week. When is the eclipse? Next week, right?
Yeah, it's like Tuesday.
Tuesday. We are coming up on an eclipse next week in the world and the United States. In this world, there are two suns, one farther away from another.
One farther away from the planet,
than another.
Yeah.
The seasons are affected by the two suns because at some points the suns eclipse each other. And when they do, the closer sun exerts a much stronger gravitational pull so that actual full rocks and mountains and huge segments of the Earth actually start getting pulled away and gravity on the planet is lessened.
The fuck?
It's like gravity is pulling away from the planet so that there's almost it's almost an equal gravitational force to the planet on the other side.
Okay.
So you have, during this period of the eclipse, I'm calling it high season and low season. Because when the eclipse is over, gravity goes back to normal. All the Earth slowly settles back down.
Yeah.
Assuming it's where it was. If it's not, then you could have complete collapse. But so the story would be about how do you survive in this period with low gravity? I envision people actually like have entire civilizations, you know, they prepare to live underground because maybe like the eclipse, it's not safe to be up and looking up at the sun. It blinds you if the eclipse is too strong. So you've got to go live in the underground crevices made by the Earth actually physically shifting up. And then you have to move out and get out again before they start shifting back down when low season comes back around.
The fuck? That sounds terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't want to live there.
I don't either.
I guess first question is like scientifically.
Complete nonsense.
Yeah. Okay.
Utter nonsense.
Yeah.
I also had an idea of like, oh, maybe the planet's next to a black hole.
Yeah.
And that's what did I don't I, yeah. I'm not a physicist, man. Yeah, I
fucking just hand wave it. This is fantasy.
I just think
shit.
Gravity is cool.
Like, yeah. I just think it's neat.
I just think they're neat. Yeah, like, you know my obsession with like space magic. I fucking love that.
Yeah, it's also world building. If you can't get over it being whatever, fuck you.
Yeah. I don't give a shit.
Just make it up.
Yeah, it's fine. I just was trying to incorporate the eclipse.
Yeah, that's, it's cool the idea that you of having the sun's eclipsing each other in your orbit, and I assume that would be pretty rare. You could probably make it where their orbit is overlapped enough that it can happen relatively frequently, but
yeah, maybe it's every 5 years or something. Yeah. Like, so you have time to prepare to move, and maybe it's a full year. So you have a full year underground, which does give you time to get out again. You don't need a full civilization under there. You just need like living quarters.
Yeah.
Right. But it would create like, how do you survive that? And that's why it's like a bounce house, because then the gravity, you're being pulled, so gravity is more like on the moon, so you're bouncing around when you're up above. You're not running.
And you won't know what side of the planet it will hit, will you? Because it's not going to hit the whole planet.
No,
it's going to hit just the side it's facing it.
Yeah, I imagine scientists have figured out a way to predict it.
Or wizards.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just adding that.
Yeah, like,
You can remove
space,
the scientists.
Space wizards.
Yeah, and if this is fantasy, it's wizards.
Yeah, but well, I do think again, like this is something that mathematicians, like, I mean, think about how much about the world our ancient mathematicians figured out.
Pythagoras.
Right? Like, why? I imagine they could figure this out.
They invented shapes.
Right. What?
No, I mean, Pythagoras invented the triangle. It didn't exist before that.
No, it didn't.
Just he totally came up with it. I think this creates a really cool opportunity for an amazing cult.
Mm.
The way people would interact with this like double eclipse thing, I think it would create some awesome vibes.
Mm.
I think. Because what else can happen? during that eclipse. That what crazy shit can people pull off? What, like, how?
Well, so if there's magic in this world, which I don't know if there is, then maybe it is a convergence, like we were talking about in the world before. So magical powers are heightened, but the outside world is more treacherous. So yes, you're more powerful, but the outside world is still more treacherous. So yeah, that could be a fun dichotomy to explore. You could also, if like the double sun, like the twin sun eclipse thing, actually does increase the amount of light in the ambient world, mm-hmm. someone would come up with an Archimedes death ray, like using mirrors to try and reflect and concentrate the light into a death. Like,
it's a super weapon at this point.
Yeah. But it would be pretty, like, that's not a huge leap to make.
But also, would you need it if you've got, like, you have an easier super weapon, but maybe it's the one people have created defenses for, is all the fucking rocks going up in the air.
Right.
And the gravity change. So you create opportunities for that. So let's say there is magic. Let's say this is divine in some way. And it's like you're creating a temporary through line to divinity. Mm. Like, this is the divine gate.
Yeah. Sure.
And somebody's got a ritual that will help them, propel them through, that they will become divine.
Mm.
Or so they think.
Mm.
And then you created a good little like a quest hook in an RPG setting, for instance, of during this upcoming double eclipse, these people are going to try to do this fucking ritual because they think, which classic D&D trope of someone's doing a ritual to become a god. But now you have the heightened thing that they're trying to do it during this eclipse where all resources need to be devoted to making sure that people don't die from the rocks that are doing some shit. And these people are trying to use the rocks to do another thing.
Right.
And to propel themselves through, and they're going to fuck up somehow in the process and actually destroy like all these rocks. And then they're going to come down as a bunch of other smaller rocks and like creating like this huge shower of debris and fucking shrapnel.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That'd be kind of cool. Or even per my warm-up session rant about my increasing cynicism, they think it's divine. And they develop this, this magical rail gun, effectively, to launch someone through what they perceive to be the divine gate.
And they just launch them into the fucking sun? Just
launch them into the fucking sun.
Okay.
And they realize it, and it becomes the Icarus Gate.
Okay, no, but I fucking love this. Because, all right, here's what happens. They don't realize that they think this is, like...
think they're just becoming gods.
They think that they're like ascending.
Uh-huh.
And they are just straight up being murdered. Just
shooting people
in the sun. I think I've seen this in somewhere in fiction of people people trying to be like, I will become whatever. And then like they just straight up die.
It's just death.
Yeah. But in this case, it is like a highly publicized thing of like, I will be catapulted into the sun by a fucking railgun. And then it's just, and then done.
Yeah.
Just died. They lost oxygen the second that they hit the atmosphere. Yeah. They never made it to the sun.
Nope. They barely made it out of the world itself.
Yeah. I like it.
I think that is more, that's like, it would be a great like Monty Python skit.
Yeah.
Set in a fantasy world.
I'm thinking about this is an RPG hook. How do you use it? That do you want to stop it because you realize that it is a problem and that these are innocent people dying under false pretenses,
or they're happy.
Or do you want to stop it because the people who are in charge know that it doesn't work, but they do it to placate the populace? And they're publicly executing people, and the people crave it because they don't realize that it's all a fucking scam.
So I think it depends on the tone you're going for. If you want a more serious, morally gray story, then do that. I would think it's, this reminds me more, there's of an episode in the first season of The Last Airbender, when they go to a village and they meet, the village has a fortune teller, mm-hmm. and this entire village is controlled by what the fortune teller says.
Yeah.
And Sokka is trying to be very, you know, he's Mr. Science, and yes, I'm very logical, and trying to say science can explain all of these things.
Yeah.
And these people, he keeps proving science right.
Yeah.
And the people just keep saying, nope, the fortune teller said that. Nope, fortune teller said that too. And it's just, the joke is how long this goes on for.
Yeah.
To the point where it's like one of the last joke ends with, oh yeah, see how the clouds made it rain? Can your science explain that? And Sokka's like, yes, it can. It does explain
that. Yeah.
It's sort of that energy that I'm feeling out of this. It's like, the, you know, imagine you've got a cleric in the party.
Yeah.
Who is like, I am telling you as a cleric, this is not divine. There is no divinity here. There is no gate. There is no divine gate. Like,
yeah.
And these people are just like, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Like, it could go sad or it could just be funny still, depending on how dark a sense of humor your party has.
That's true. Yeah. Cause it creates an interesting dynamic of everybody, like, these people believe it.
Yeah.
They don't think that anyone's being harmed.
Right.
So even if you're right, they don't care.
Right.
How do you convince them otherwise? Should you convince them otherwise? Because that just seems pretty, like, pretty fucked up to be like, hey, that thing that you believe that makes your people happy, it's wrong.
All like, those thousands of people that you have honored and ascended, you just murdered them horribly.
Yeah, yeah. It's basically a population just slowly having, like, funerals that were, like, planned. It just, or it's like,
accelerating.
Yeah, they're euthanizing each other over time. It's interesting.
Yeah,
I like that version. I think that of like having the double eclipse being this moment, and is that, are they doing it during the double eclipse? They're doing that when the sun's just generally. Because it's the divine gate is only open while the double
eclipse, is happening. That's the belief.
Yeah.
Is that the double eclipse is a portal through the gate.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
is a gateway itself.
So then how long is the eclipse lasting?
A month? I said about a year.
The eclipse lasts a year?
Yeah. Because that it has to be long enough for you to necessitate having some sort of living area underneath the raising and floating rock.
Okay. I think a year might be too long, but I feel like a few weeks is good.
Or 6 months.
Yeah, yeah. Like however long you want to make it. It's up to you. Fuck it. Who cares? Yeah. We're just creating the ideas. You figure it out.
The point is that it's
but then,
cyclical.
And during that time, you have like a daily ascension. Somebody is being railgunned into the fucking sun every day until it's done.
It is the highest honor that you can achieve.
Yeah.
If you were to do that, you would probably have some sort of, maybe some sort of idiocracy effect.
Maybe.
Because if you're just constantly shooting your best and brightest, pun intended, into the fucking sun.
Oh, that's fucking wild. Yes, absolutely. Right? I love it. Let's do that. The best and brightest are all being shot up into the fucking sun for like the right reasons
absolutely.
Per the people, but they're doing it too often.
Yeah.
And I think this is a point where you need to have a big enough population for it to even be that free. Cause there's like a point where people be like, whoa, we need more people. Like we can't keep launching people. But if it only happens every 5 years where there is this eclipse and then you ascend 100 people during that time, I guess it could be offset if you have 50,000 people, that's fine. But yeah, so it just depends on how many people and how big the population is. But yeah, you might have a bit of an idiocracy. You might, because after the ascension like is done, when the eclipse is gone, did you just fucking ascend a bunch of your leaders and now you're like leaderless and you have these vacancies and these voids created in power vacuums because you just ascended these important people and these pronounced people.
Right. And you like, spent the past 6 months yeeting these people into the sun, living underground, having to figure this out. Meanwhile, you've got the death ray people out there moving rocks around, trying to reflect the sun's light.
To destroy your fucking railgun.
To destroy the railgun. Like, life gets weird during high season.
Yeah. I like it.
High season and low season.
Okay.
Cool.
I think that's the wrap on that idea.
Lightning round.
All right. My lightning round is, again, I'm avoiding the like physical change. I'm going with like social and like vibe shifts. The season of sadness, wherein nobody's allowed to smile.
Why?
Because that's the cultural practice.
But what triggers it?
Nothing. They've decided to do that. You were not allowed to smile. If you're caught smiling, you're like punished.
So it's like a holiday.
It's like a holiday, but it's like 2 months of it. It's like a mourning thing. It's maybe it's forced. Maybe there's the god of death is forcing like a sadness on everybody. It says you are all meant to be reflective and sad and dour for this period of time. So I'm removing your ability to smile. You cannot laugh. You cannot tell jokes. All you can do is kind of sulk as a population.
It is the opposite of the purge. You know, the purge, movie where you get all your violence out. This is group collective mourning for all the tragedy and pain that has occurred over the past period of time.
Yeah. And it's just, you're not.
It's like Yom Kippur, right? And, like, it's like your atonement.
But
right?
you are not allowed to do anything happy, to be happy, to be anything other than you just have to be sad during this period of time.
Yeah. That has echoes of, it's not a day of, you're not atoning for your sins, you're mourning.
Yeah.
It's like the in memoriam part of the Oscars.
Yeah. So that's that.
Cool.
Years go.
Every 2 years, this one specific type of bird finally hatches, has a very long incubation period. It's about 2 years. These birds are loud as fuck. And they just scream while they are chicks until they get older and then they get quiet. But for every 2 years, there is a six-month long period where it's just really fucking loud outside because of all these damn birds.
Yeah.
And it's just screaming.
Sounds annoying as shit.
And it's just off. It's the cicadas. It was inspired by the cicadas.
Yeah.
Which come out every 7 years?
19, I think.
I don't remember. But and then you have that period of time where it's like cicada season, and then it's gone.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. I like that. All right. What stuck for you? A net bedding?
Mm-hmm.
A non-idea?
A net bedding. No. I like the Night Watcher. I'm pretty stoked by that. I like the Sarlacc pits. From your idea, from your season, that something beneficial could also awaken something dangerous. I think that's a cool balancing act to have to account for. I also really like the railgun.
Yeah.
Just yeeting people into the sun.
Yeah.
I think that's just really funny.
Yeah. I mean, that's what stuck for me is the railgun. It's the ascension. It's the foolishness of it. It's the...
There's like an excitability to it, too. Yeah. Like, they're so excited about it.
It's this... Yeah, and it's this belief in a thing that you, as a third party, as the... As the like carte blanche kid who's coming in, and you know you're the stand-in for a main character, fish out of water, comes in and is like, wait, what the fuck are you doing? You're just killing yourselves.
No, they're not dying; they're becoming gods.
Exactly. Like, and that moment, it's the Jim Halpert turn to the camera and be like, you fucking kidding me?
Right.
I think I'm
imagining a giant slingshot. Like,
that's a railgun, bro. It's a full-on railgun. You could also make it a slingshot.
I'm just like, it's just fun. It depends on how silly you want to go with it.
Yeah, yeah. And, the silliness, I think the tone that you set for it, you could do serious or do silly, and it can work in either.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, that's what stuck for us. Let us know what stuck for you.
Emails in the show notes.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for putting up with us today.
You're welcome.
So are you.
What?
Annette Benning.
Goodbye.